Thank you, Pastor. Okay, put this in my pocket, I guess, huh? Okay. I think I did, yes. Yeah. You know, it's amazing. Things don't happen just by coincidence. Pastor Kyle didn't know what my emphasis was going to be on this morning. He knew it was going to have something to do with missions, of course. But my emphasis I'm going to be talking about is foundation. And what is a foundation? And that's what I'm going to be talking about a little bit about today. You know, and there's many different types of foundation. You know, it's, I think there's the foundation that, you know, us contractors think about is the firm footings that a house or a building is built on. And then there's other foundation that Jody might be able to help me out with this one. It's the stuff that, you know, some of you ladies put on your face, you know, to put stuff on, you know. And that's, you know, I'm not talking about that foundation. I'm going to be talking about our spiritual foundation. And that, to me, is the most important foundation of the church. You know, and it's so important because of the fact that, you know, when we talk about foundation, and the Bible is spoken over 70 times in the Bible about the foundation. You know, and I guess the questions that, you know, believers or new converts think about or talk about, they want to know, in salvation, what was it like for you? Did you have any preconceived notions? What happens next after you're saved? You know, these are questions that new converts, you know, they might not verbalize those, but they think them. Because I did all the time, you know, my first young years. And many of you know the story about how I was, I don't want to say converted, but why not? When I gave my heart to the Lord, it was on a Wednesday night in little town of Elgin, Oregon. And a missionary came there. And that's when I gave my heart. Give you some facts. Every 37 seconds, the angels are rejoicing in heaven.
Oh, glory to God.
Because somebody has made that commitment to Christ. That is an incredible number. So just think about that. Every 37 seconds. So hopefully I'll get done by 1:30 or 2. So think about that time that goes through that time. Yes. Every 95 minutes, a church is planted someplace in the world. Every 73 minutes, there is a new pastor that has taken on leading the sheep, leading his flock, reaching out to people, reaching, planting, serving, and teaching. The assemblies are in 256 countries, territories, and provinces. There's over 68 million AG constituents. There are 367,000 AG churches worldwide. There's 392,000 AG ministers. 95% of our constituents are overseas, outside the U.S. borders. And what's interesting is when we were in Africa, I don't know, I think it was the second or third time, and talking to pastors there, and they are training up people to come to the U.S.
Amen. Yeah.
They are sending people to the U.S. as missionaries. And that is a sad state that our country has to have missionaries. That just shows you the situation that our country is in. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 9, it says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." Are we just people that go from day to day after we have given our heart to the Lord? What do? Do we just come to church every Sunday and we think about, oh, this is really good for me. I feel good. You know, I meet and greet people. But there's more to that walk that we have. There's more to that commitment when we say, yes, I give my heart to the Lord. There's more to that than just coming in and sitting in our pews or in our seats. We are We are to reach, we are to plant, we are to serve, and we are to make leaders. And each and every one of us has an ability. Each and every one of us has the ability to connect. I'm not saying that all of us are to go overseas. I'm not saying that whatsoever. But we need to have our ears open and follow what God has directed us to do. You know, I want to bring one person out. I don't know, is Weston Moore here right now? Where is Weston? Weston. Okay. I want to congratulate you on your ability. I heard something the other night about what you did at the music at the school, that you conducted, you wrote all the parts for the band, for whatever instrument the kids were playing. That is remarkable, and I congratulate you for that. It is so important that we recognize outstanding achievements. Amen. We need to do more of that. If we as a society was to do that, we might not have as many problems in the world as we have right now. I think back to my childhood and into my young adult life, and probably one of the greatest things that my dad ever said to me was that he said, "I am proud of you." And when you hear those words as a son, as a young man, from your father or your mother, and you hear that, that makes you feel really good, let me tell you. Think about when Jesus was getting baptized. What did the Heavenly Father say? "This is my son, whom I'm very pleased with." You know? So, very strong words. Very strong words there. You know, Pastor Kyler last week, he was talking a little bit about his hair. And he was making a little comment with Russ, you know. So this morning when I was putting on my, gotta be my shirt here. And, you know, they're cut low in the back, you know. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm like a lion right now. Because I got a mane that goes from here. And it just keeps going, you know. Maybe that's too much information, I'm sure. Yeah. That's right, that's right. You know, when our missionaries make that commitment to go on the field, they don't know. They have a slim idea of what to expect. But do they really fully understand what the ramifications are? You know, let's look at Mark and Sonny Rodi. Let me rephrase this. Mark was an AG missionary in Thailand. So he's there doing missionary work, and naturally, you need to learn their language. So he's at the language school, and who does he meet? He meets Sonny. They blossom. She wasn't an AG missionary. She was a national missionary from South Korea. And they met, and, well, the rest is history. They got married, and they're both serving now in Thailand. So you never know what these missionaries are going to encounter. You know, he went on the missions field not saying, "Oh, I'm going to find me a bride." You know, I mean, he didn't say in between hunting season, "Well, oh, let's see, I got time now." I want to know, how did you find time? You know, I mean, you're an avid hunter. You found time. That's good. That's good. Verse 10, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and others build on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it." Let's look at a clip. Let's see if we have that first picture that on the foundation. That's quite a foundation. It is. It's up. Okay. It's not, can we turn these lights down? Yeah. Where do we, oh, they got them there. This foundation is these little rods sticking out. If you can't understand what that picture is an apartment building that fell over. It's a 13-story apartment building. And the things that I thought was interesting about it is that the building itself is laid down, but it's pretty well intact. you know, it hasn't broken up and so forth. And these were apartment buildings being built. They were all vacant at the time. But the first thought that came to my mind is that, you know, here it is, very well built above ground, but it lacked the foundation to hold it up. And how does that apply to our lives? How does it apply to people that are seeking God's wisdom and God's glory and love and passion? Is that they might be able to read everything they can, but until they give themselves to Christ, until they give everything that they have to Him, they're lacking that strong foundation. The interesting thing is, too, what I feel, is that the foundation is only as strong as what you make it out. When we was in Africa, I remember on our last trip, they were mixing up concrete. And, you know, here we talk about a 5-sack or a 6-sack mix per yard of concrete or cement. There they were using a half a bag for like 4 yards. And it was just like, was not going to be strong enough. And I was like, guys, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to hold up. Well, this is how we always do it. Well, it couldn't change their thinking. But anyway, next slide. There we are again. Okay. Are we there yet? You know, the interesting thing is, too, is that, you know, we talk about the term, the world is getting smaller because of technology. But isn't it getting bigger? Because there's, you know, as far as the world getting smaller and because we can communicate faster, but it is so many people that is still lost. Like my slide, that's right. There we go, okay. Yeah, what went wrong? There again, they was looking at it and going, what in the world went wrong here? Well, as you look at the footings there, or the pillars, there's no rebar or anything that shows any sort of connection to the foundation below. You know, I got thinking about, you know, I always hear the term Master Builders Association, MBA. So the other day I went online, I thought, well, what does it take to be an MBA person? You know, so I looked it up and I downloaded the app. And it says, in joining the Master Builders Association of Pierce County, all builders, remodelers, associate members agree to abide by the association's code of ethics. So I stopped there and I thought, wow, this is going to be good. They're going to have a big list of all these things that you have to abide by. And they're going to come and review your business. They're going to look at how well you build things and everything in your history, how long you've been in business and stuff. But it doesn't. It says, by doing so, members demonstrate to the public and others in their respective fields that they take pride in their profession and do their best to provide the highest quality work possible. It didn't say anything about reviewing their quality of work. They didn't say anything about reviewing who they were, their background, or anything like that. But it did say, pay $590 and you get your plaque. So for $590, I could send in and get this thing, and they don't do any background checks and so forth. I was amazed at that. Christian ministry is a spiritual warfare, directed against God's enemies. This is what our missionaries face each and every day. Not just them, but every one of us. Every one of us believers, we face that warfare every day. Our missionaries, they reach the lost, plant churches, train leaders, serve the poor. They do all of these so all can hear. We don't choose who wants to hear this and who doesn't hear it. You know, the Holy Spirit lets everybody have that DNA. And we talked about that in Sunday school class today. And it was amazing how that dovetails back in with what I'm talking about today. Thank you very much. And it's a, excuse me. When the DNA, when God made each and every one of us, His DNA, a portion of that is in us. It has the ability to grow and blossom into something wonderful. But we have to be willing to take that step forward and take a hold of that and to continue to water it. And that's what our missionaries do. They take and they build and they water the seed that has already been planted. and put in that hunger so that they can take care of the poor, they can develop leaders for countries, that they then can go out into their own countries and help the nations. Ephesians 2:19 and 22. Oops. Oopsie. Is everybody hungry today?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to going to our South Campus. Across the street, not the church, but to our South Campus and having lunch tonight, this afternoon. That's going to be great. Yeah, not tonight. Ephesians 2, 19, 22. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. How many people, I think we still got a couple here, was in Africa when we built the house? Okay. One of the first things that they did, they set up, when we started laying the brick, they actually set up the cornerstones to where that was our straight line, that is how we squared up the house, and so forth. That's the key element, is you look at any brick building, any building that's being made from stone, the cornerstone is key. That is usually the largest stone. And it's the solid stone, so it's not going to be moved. That is what we have to always look upon, is that God is our cornerstone in our life.
Amen.
Christ is the rock, the foundation on which the whole church rests.
Amen.
Luke 6:46-49. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do the things which I, and you do not do the things I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. And the story goes on there, and he talks about the house that is built on the solid stone, and that will not be moved. It will not be washed away when the floods come or the rains come. The one that does not hear, it talks about being built on sand and being washed away. Our missionaries are doing that. They're building the foundation for not just one generation or two generations, but many generations to come. The house there in Africa, when the church built it, sent people over to build it, there's a plaque on it. And what was so unique about that is that that house wasn't just for that one family or those eight children and the house mother. It's for the next generation that comes into that house, and the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. And that's what building the foundation of a good godly community, a good godly country is about, is not just the now, it's the future also.
Amen.
And that's what our missionaries are doing around the world. They are building the foundations for their countries that they are representing, and for their future generations. They reach, plant, train, and serve so all can hear. We have the luxury of here in the United States to where, let's say, we don't go to a service. Pastor has it on the web. We can pull it up and we can hear his sermon. A lot of the countries don't have that opportunity. They miss a service. They miss the word. So it's so important as they go through their daily lives that they have all the opportunities to hear everything that is to be said. 1 Timothy 6, 18 and 19. Keep hitting that. I guess I get over in 1 Timothy. There we go. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works. They to give willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. God wants us to prosper at everything that we do. He knows the desires of our hearts. He knows what we want to have. But the key here is to keep it into balance. And myself, I say to my wife every so often, I'm out of balance. I'm out of sync with what my life needs to be. And she's heard me say that many times, too many times, unfortunately. But you have to look at your life. You have to look at what is the priorities in our lives and what should they be? And are we doing what God has commanded us to do? There again, I'm not saying that we have to go on the mission field, but we have a way to partner with our missionaries. Each and every month, we have that ability to do that. One thing that happens, I believe, is when people are going, everything's going good in their life, they don't have to worry about financial stuff, family life is great, kids are great, grandkids are great, everything's going good. I think we get relaxed a little bit about how we look at God and how we call upon His name. I believe that when we stop praying, that then we start looking at ourselves and say, oh, well, I'm doing all of this. Well, it's not. God is the one who has blessed you in your business. He's the one that has blessed you in your family. He's the one that has blessed you each and every day. So you have to take and stop, look in the mirror and go, really, is it me or is it Him? You have to look at that each and every day. We have to look at the advancement of His kingdom and not being self-centered. We have to be able to look at what is important in our lives, look at what is important in not just our lives, but what God's church needs to be. So what I'd like to do now is like you to introduce yourselves to our missionaries. We support, our church supports 21 missionaries around the world. So we're going to go down that list. Yeah, we should be able to get it down in 45 minutes. Or less. Okay. First one is Nancy Valnez. There she is. She is in Russia. She deals with HIV, and I didn't know this, but HIV in Russia is the fastest growing country with HIV. A lot of people think, well, Africa is, but it's not. It's Russia. She's been a pastor in 1988. she is an RN. And she was at our church, I think, about 4 years ago, something like that. Our next missionary is Jonathan and Mary Winter. They've been missionaries since 2006 in Indonesia. And there again, I was talking about, you never know when you go on the mission field what could take place. In 2014, Mount Kalidas erupted, and they were covered with ash. Did not say that name right. But anyway, a mountain over there erupted. They were covered with ash. The ones who lived here in 1980 knew what that was like and what you had to deal with. Next one is Stan and Sue Drew, 2004. in Swaziland. They deal with church development, clean water, food resources, orphan care, training national workers to address the AIDS epidemic. And as I read through these, there's going to be some that we can't really talk about because they are in parts of the world that is very sensitive and it's not safe. So we just leave it at that. Next one is Mike and Carrie Ness. In 1995, they became missionaries to Tanzania. They are training programs for children, ministers, and national fellowship reassigned to the Dominican Republic of the Congo. Next one is Jim and Chris Hosak. 1984, they've been missionaries in Thailand. They plant churches and training leaders. Jim teaches at the Bible school in Bangkok. In 2017, they're starting their seventh term. Think about that. You pull up your roots from your house. You leave your family members here. You go someplace because you do what God's called you to do. Next one is Craig and Donna Matheson. They're in Eastern Europe. Craig works at educating Muslims about Jesus and Christians. Dana is a transition coach for the new AG personnel going to Europe. What happens when you feel like you're called to go to missions? It isn't just, okay, let's go. This is where I want to go. This is what I want to do. There's a big process to that. There's a big process to going through all the hoops and to make sure that this is what needs to take place. Amen. One thing about it is that when you go to another country, you don't know what to expect. You have some idea, but you don't know. So you have to have personnel that is on the ground, that is there helping you transition into that. The next one is Deanne Heelan. She's in the Himalayan plateau. The next one is John and Corey Taylor. They've been missionaries in Indonesia since 2004. He leads two branches of services, or churches. Now then, Pastor, how about this one? Six services each Sunday. You would lose the rest of your hair if you had to do that. The really neat thing is that they wanted to build 100 churches by the year 2025. And right now, to date, they're at church number 59. Wow. So they are well ahead of their projection. Next one is Rick and Ruth Johnson. They're in Springfield. Even though that they're classified as world missions, their homes, they're stateside. So when missionaries come off the field, they have a way to, whatever, you know, to, I can't think of the right word, but to be able to transition back into the States here. Because there are some missionaries that go through some horrific adventures, and some are good, some are not so good. And so they have to have help. They deal with personnel and life directors. Next one is Ben and Michelle Dunlap. They're in Cameroon, Africa. They're from Washington State, just down the road. Yeah, down from Kelso. Here about 2 years ago, I felt very led to go there and help build a church. Had everything in the works. Church raised $3,500. But then, you know what? Then came the Ebola breakout, you know, and so they closed the borders, so I couldn't go. We went ahead and sent the funds to build the church, and they did. Sometimes our heart is there, but the doors don't open, and that was one of those times. Mark and Sonny Rodell, we already talked about them, but they do church planting. They serve in Thailand, and they got married. I think that's a great story. John and Beth Wilson, they serve as AGM to Russia from 2001 to 2015. I believe, were they the Royal Rangers? Yeah, Royal Rangers, yeah. And for the ones that don't know what the Royal Ranger program is, the easiest way I can describe it, it's a Christian Boy Scouts program. To me, that's the easiest way how to describe it. So it isn't just that the Royal Rangers are in the U.S., it's worldwide. And it's just like reaching the young through a program that works. Amen. Steve and Linda Long, they began serving in 1981 in the Philippines. 1981. Do the math. That's incredible. That's incredible. In 2003, they reassigned to the International Ministries Global University, educating pastors from their own countries to go back and serve. Max and Sylvia Rivera, Latin America and the Caribbean, they teach, mentor, and equip the strong Spanish-speaking people. Jamie and Beverly Bello, they are in the Dominican Republic, currently preparing to go on their fourth term. Now then, their strategy is directing with the Chi Alpha. Chi Alpha program is another portion of the ministries where they go on to college campuses and deal with college students and to educate them. Glenn and Dana Johnson, they are at the Continental Theological Seminary in Europe, training international students for missionary from over 30 countries and around the world. Next one is Paul and Lacera Dobson. Paul is a minister to the children's third culture kids in Southeast Asia. Paul is a school counselor for TCKs, and Larissa supports children and families in Southeast Asia in a variety of ways. Alan Lynette Johnson, they're in Thailand. Alan was born and raised in Seattle, but he and his wife of 39 years of Lynette have lived in Thailand since 1986. They have worked in a church planting and various forms of formal and informal training with the Thailand Assemblies of God. In 2003, they pioneered work among the urban poor that continues today through the ministries of the local Thai church. One thing that Alan did is, I believe it was in 1997, I believe it was, he felt led to go through the poorest of the poor communities and actually do a prayer walk, and did that every single week. And through that, he built churches and relationships. And I think when you think about going into the poor or the poor areas, you know, I hear on the news almost on a regular basis up there in Seattle, and there's certain parts that you don't want to go into, and there's shootings and muggings and all those things. But you know, when you have God by your side and you're following his directions, he'll take care of you. Amen. John and Christian Cosell, Germany, they work with Chi Alpha also. Matt and Debbie Mann, Botswana, Africa. Earlier I said put some numbers to that, to this. Put numbers to this one. Everett and Evelyn McKinney, Singapore, 1969. They have been there. Now, if you think, okay, since 1969 you've been in one location, but they cover 60 countries. Now then, they have a little apartment as a home base, but think about living out of a suitcase, traveling all the time from point to point to point to point. What would you put in that suitcase? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all he has. I mean, it's that's talking about following what God has called you to do.
Amen.
One thing that I definitely want to mention is that, you know, all of our missionaries that we support, that you support, is through your contributions. And the way we do that is on our tithes, or our offerings, if you want it to go to missions, identify it to go to missions. Because without your support, none of this can happen. None of this reaching the lost, planting churches, raising leaders, and serving the poor. None of that can happen. Not to say that God isn't great and he could do it, but you know what? Each one of us has a command by him to help, to be a part of what is called what these missionaries are called to do. The next one is Teen Challenge, the Graham Women's Center. And then the next one is the Watoto Child Care Ministries. Since 2005, the WM's Women's Ministries from the church has supported Martha. She lives in Subi Village in Uganda. And for us who went to Africa, it was an incredible adventure to meet people that you support. It's incredible to go back and see the family that was living in the house that you built. To go back and see the lives that were being changed. There's no way that I can really put into words the feelings and the excitement that there is when you get involved with missions. Amen. It will change your life. I always say that, you know, there's a song that we sing, I give you all that I have. And I'm a firm believer when you believe the words that you are singing, like Pastor was saying, if you listen to those words and you put them deep in your heart, hold on, because let me tell you, the ride's going to be an incredible ride. Because then God is working through you and not you're not working by yourself. One thing that we always have to keep in mind is that everything that we do, it's not for us, because we're here just for a short time. You know, each year gets closer to our end. But you know what? We're setting aside the future generations. At this time, I'd like to have my wife come and sing a quick song. And then we only have a few minutes left. My stomach's growling. Yeah, could you do that, the last slide of the people in the house? The one with the family in the doorway of the house. I think it's 25.
Yeah, all the kids weren't there that day. This is the house that we built. And anyway, when those 8 children are grown up, there'll be another 8 children and another 8 children. Just close your eyes. Just listen to this song. Let it speak to you. Got it, Michael? Calling in the reinforcements. Silence is good.
He heard the preacher say a single dime can feed a hungry boy or girl with nothing to eat. So he pulled a dollar from the pocket of his jeans, and he asked his mother, how many will this feed? She just smiled when she told him 10. He reached back in again. What if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My child, a gift like that could change the world. It could feed a multitude. He didn't close his eyes or turn away. I can see him standing tall. He saw the need. But he reminds me of another little boy who gave to Jesus a gift of fish and bread. I wonder if he said, what if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My child, a gift change the world. It will feed a multitude. He didn't close his eyes or turn away. I can see him standing tall. He saw the need and I can hear him say, what if I give up? Says to him, what if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My son, a gift like that will change the world. It will free the multitudes. What if I give all? What will that gift do? My child, a gift like that will change the world. It will feed the multitudes. He didn't close his eyes and turn away. We see the need now.
Let us say,
what if I give all? What if I give all? Thank you, Jesus.
Believer's daily obedience to God builds a good foundation for the time to come. If we believe in the Bible and its teaching, it requires obedience, nothing less. We've talked about cornerstones. We have talked about reaching, planting, training, serving. We do this so all can hear. We don't choose which of our Lord's commands we obey. We are not a club. We're not where we can pay some money and get a plaque to hang on the wall, like the Master Builders Association or a lot of different other associations. Do we choose to hear or follow his commands? We do things for people not because of who they are or what they can do for us in return, but because of who we are. So my question to you is, who are you? Where do you fall in this scheme of supporting the growth of his kingdom? You have a choice. Like God has given every one of us a choice. How we walk our lives, how we interact with people. And now you have a choice to be a part of something bigger than any one of us can ever dream. Is ushers handy? We're going to take up an offering here right now. I think as you think about what I've spoke about today is the foundation. The foundation of reaching the lost, teaching, planting, serving the lost. And we have a way to partner with that today and each and every month. And if we take hold of that, I guarantee you, your life will be changed. Look on the board each Sunday you come in. There'll be information about a different missionary. Connect with that missionary. Pray for that missionary. Pray for all of our missionaries, stateside and abroad. Come on forward, guys. Pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and honored to be a part of your family. And Lord, as we take upon this offering, that it will be used to enrich your kingdom, to enrich your love around the world, to reach the many that are lost, to reach the families, the single people, to help reach the ones that have not heard your voice yet. And as we will meet you someday, we want to hear those words. For you are my child. I am well pleased with you for what you have done. Lord, have a blessing on this offering, Lord. In your name, amen. I'll get all that later.
Somebody is saving in 37 seconds. I think I'm the only one who's wearing this.